Try something new. I don't know if it's going to work.
Call this meeting to order at 7:18 p.m. First off, before we get to anything else, thank you to the ASA and to Councilor Brookie for inviting us to the Augustana campus and having us. The food's delicious, the buildings are beautiful, and the landscape is magnificent. So, as always, before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath you have taken. The Students' Union would also like to honor the Nation-to-Nation Treaty relationship by acknowledging that this meeting is taking place on Treaty 6 territory. I'm not sure if we're on Treaty 6 territory, but I have to make this oral announcement at the start of every meeting, or else I am not following standing orders. So we may not be on Treaty 6 territory, but...
We are.
Are we?
We are.
There you go, see? All right.
There's a parliamentary point of that.
Yes.
Point of parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker. Did you not say we were going to do the oath this meeting?
I said.
No, after the bylaw.
After the bylaw.
After the bylaw. If that is suitable, Vice President Hodge.
Yeah.
I guess. I didn't mean that as a joke. Yes, Vice President Hodge.
Can I make a quick announcement?
Yes.
Just to let you know, we have to be at the bus at 9.
Thank you,
Vice President Kidda. We'll try to run this really overloaded agenda very smoothly. Before we move on to anything else in terms of speaker's business, just want to congratulate a couple of counselors who are new. I'm not sure if they're actually here.
Kroger.
Are they?
Yep.
Counselor Caudry and Counselor Toe. You'll also find a number of items on the main order papers related to resignations as well as vacancies for the by-election. So if you'd like to have a gander at that, go for it. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, October 7th, 2014. Something to note about the next meeting is that I believe, and President Lau can correct me if I'm wrong, but the president, not the provost, as well as a representative of the Vice President of Finance will be attending that meeting, so it's not one to miss. And then with that, I will take attendance. President Lau.
Present.
Vice President Borzik is not here because she is sick. Vice President Kinda.
Here.
Vice President Hodgson.
Present.
Vice President Diaz.
Hello.
Governor Hansara.
Present.
Councilor Allard.
Present.
Councilor Chen.
Present.
Councilor Bannister.
Present.
Councilor Dewick.
Present.
Councilor Sleeman.
Present.
Councilor Zhang.
Here.
Councilor Jaddick.
Present.
Councilor Kuroki.
Yep.
Councilor Bryce. Councilor Pabachude.
Here.
Councilor Horvath.
Present.
Councilor Kudowski.
Present.
Councilor Jacobson. Councilor Wong. Councilor Garth. Councilor Gore. Councillor Khan, Councillor Krusi, Councillor Morris, Councillor Bhatia, Councillor Hooper, Councillor Champagne, Councillor Caudry, Councillor Zinedine, Councillor Kwan, Councillor Toh, Councillor Wang, Councillor Farouk, Councillor Hudson, and here, wonderful. Really quickly, for members of the ASA Council and ASA Executive, how these meetings usually run is that we have presentations to start with. So, for example, at today's meeting, you will be making a presentation to Students' Council. That will be followed by reports from the Executive Committee and any chairs of boards, as well as the Board of Governors, followed by question period, which can last as short as 5 minutes, but can be as long as 2 hours. It really depends on how long councillors have questions. Then we'll move on to any motions that we have, and then we'll call it a day. For this particular meeting, I don't know if it just worked out this way, or people didn't want to put motions, but there's only a presentation at this meeting, so it'll be short and sweet. And then I think the intention is to have a nice short tour of the campus before the council members head back to North Campus. So, any questions or comments or anything any council members want to add? Perfect. With that, we'll move on to presentations. So, the Augustana Students Association and Augustana Campus by the ASA Executive. At the risk of mispronouncing names, let's move on to who they were sponsored by, because I don't want to make the worst first impression ever and butcher their names. Sponsored by Governor Hansra and Councillor Grokey. There's an abstract listed on the order papers for anyone who has a copy. Copies of the order papers and the late editions are just right in front of me up here. Is there any opposition to viewing or listening to this presentation? Seeing none, I will give the floor to the presenters.
Alright, thank you for all coming out. I'd like to extend the welcome. I'm pretty sure Councillor Grokey, although we call her Stephanie here, because we're a little bit less formal.
We don't like to feed my ego.
Yes, and I'm Carolyn Malloy. I hold the position of VP Student Life here at Augustana.
I'm Justin Draper. I hold the position of Vice President Academic.
I'm Hans Asfeld, and I hold the position of President.
I'm Bhatti Patel. I hold the position of VP Communications.
And we're missing Sean DeBosch, who holds the position of VP Finance.
And also here.
Thank you. We also have present a few of our council members, if you want to say hi.
Council members can.
Hi. Do you want us to like formally introduce ourselves?
Sure.
We have time. We have nothing else to do, apparently. No offense.
Keep it going as long as possible.
Okay, set up.
Okay.
Let's all stand up at the same time. You're over there.
Okay. I'm Pierce McKinney. I'm the second year rep.
I'm Andrew Newman. I'm second year rep.
I'm Alonzo. I'm the first year rep.
My name is Alyssa Belanger, and I'm the Aboriginal Student Representative.
And I'm Ivy, International Students Rep.
Right. So our council is held up with many other positions that aren't here at this moment, but I'll just briefly give you guys an introduction of the best faculty the University of Alberta has. Not biased whatsoever. Here at Augustana we have over 1,000 students, to be precise. We have 1,076 students. Over 10% are international students, so we get a lot of diversity and culture present. Just to do a stereotypical fact, we have 16 students per professor, so our classes are a lot smaller than your guys's. We like to brag about that a lot. Other things we like bragging about is our unlimited chocolate milk in the cafeteria. Yeah. Be jealous. Other things that we are very proud of is that one out of every three Augustana students has an experience abroad. They usually go to our Cuba program or Arctic courses, India trip, I've been on that. So our students do get a huge chance to experience different cultures. Very briefly, I'm just going to brag some more and mention how our Vikings hockey team, our men's hockey team, won against the Golden Bears. 6-0. 0, yes. Joel's actually our plug in there. And yeah, so that spurred on a social media contest, which happened last Friday, the Gold and Green Day against our faculty and faculty of physical education and recreation, which we again won. So we have more school spirit, just another thing to brag about. But yes, Augustana has a lot of great things to it, but more than anything, I don't want to tempt you guys to transfer. So I'll stop here and let you guys talk for a bit.
So, like I said, my name is Justin. I'm the Vice President Academic, and I'll give you just a little rundown about the Augustana Students Association, or the ASA. So, as you guys might have noticed, our counselor system is a little bit different. You guys run based on faculty, so you'll have arts reps and science reps, but we do it based on a few other things. So we have year reps, so we have two first-year reps, two second-year reps, one third-year rep, and one fourth-year rep. But we also have a few special interest reps, so we have the Aboriginal rep, the two off-campus reps, the international rep, we have a counselor at large, so it's a little bit of a different layout, but we do a lot of the same stuff that you guys do. So it's not like we're some, you know, small faculty association way off in the middle of nowhere that doesn't really do much. We do a lot of the same stuff in regards to you guys, like advocacy. We do events. We do some pretty rockin' events. I know some of you have been out to some of our bashes, and I think that they're, you know, pretty cool thanks to this one. We, as executives, do a lot of the same stuff that you as executives do. We submit weekly reports, just like you guys do. We have kind of the working groups of the ASA committees, a lot like you guys do. We each chair a committee that kind of falls under our job description. I have the agenda and priorities committee that is really similar to kind of your policy committee. We have a whole bunch of different committees. So it's really not a whole lot different than what you guys do at North Campus, just on the smaller scale. We like to brag about our close-knit community here at Augustana, so we like to be really in touch with our community, in touch with all the students. But really, it's not that much different than what you guys are doing, just on a slightly smaller scale. Am I missing anything important?
If you guys have time, you should check out the scarecrows down Main Street. We worked really hard on that. So yeah, like Justin says, because it's a small community, we do get invited to partake. And it's a very reciprocal relationship between the campus community and our campus, and even with ASA.
Yeah, so thanks, Caro and Justin. The only point I differ on is that I actually think our work at the SA here, when it comes to scale, is much larger than anything the SU does. Now, we may not have dinner like you do at each of our meetings, because we get free chocolate milk in the cafeteria. Although we do appreciate the lasagna tonight, because the lineup in the cafeteria downstairs has been getting longer and longer due to an increase in student population. So some of those challenges are ones we've been encountering this year, dealing with just larger numbers of students and the same amount of infrastructure. That's been a challenge in the residences, a challenge in the cafeteria. I think it's a challenge elsewhere.
Parking,
that's the one I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
I don't know if your bus found a place to park or not, but I'm sure it'll be there at 9 o'clock when we finally get out of this meeting. So, yeah, we do things pretty big here. One of those things is, given the construction and the plan for further enrollment growth over the next 5 years, the next 10 years, next 20 years, certainly administration and the Augustana faculty is looking to, for example, build the Performing Arts Center, which you saw on your way in. There's an upgrade to Founders Hall. There's a new science building on the horizon. Beginning to have discussions about new residence buildings to accommodate the larger student population. And as these things progress, the Student Association also is looking forward to see what kind of role we'll be filling as population reaches 1,200, 1,400. The number that we're hearing as a kind of long-term goal is actually closer to 2,000. It'll yet to be seen, of course, whether that number will be reached. But certainly this year we've seen those numbers increasing. And of course, other discussions to be had around the merits of that kind of growth. It comes with its growing pains and their advantages and disadvantages to both a larger campus or a smaller campus.
We have to have 32 kids per professor instead of that system.
exactly.
Epic possibly in C-167.
Yeah. So we're also looking, in the past there actually have been other food sources on campus. There used to be an outlet called The Grill, which has been closed in more recent history. So there's some preliminary research just beginning now to see if there are other possibilities to provide late hour food services. There are definitely challenges on that front, including space and capital investment, but that may be somewhere that the SU can act as a partner, depending on where those discussions go. Internally, I guess I'm just trying to outline a little bit for you what's on our plate at the moment, where we're looking to head this year, give you a sense of what kind of matters we're engaged in at the moment. One of those is more internal by nature, and we will be performing a review of our governance structure this year. The nature of that review is being worked out as we speak. This connects more directly to the Students' Union. You're, of course, familiar with the ARF increase this spring. Augustana ended up a little bit on the outside of those negotiations. We ended up seeing the increase, but not necessarily the benefits that as they pertained to North Campus students. So we're currently initiating some discussions, perhaps a little bit behind the game, but in follow-up nonetheless, to see how those increases manifest themselves as benefits to the student body here. So we'll be certainly in touch on that regard as we move forward. That being said, I will say the campus recreation program here, which is partly funded by that fee, already has been phenomenal. We've had participation rates upward of 20 to 30%. And I'm not sure specifically the numbers at North Campus.
111 students in the first 5 days.
So this year alone, those are not last year's numbers, this year. Joel actually leads campus. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, so our campus rec program is very big here. So we have our Monday nights is volleyball, Tuesday nights badminton, Wednesday nights is yoga, but me too. Thursday night is basketball. But we get on roughly average. We were doing yoga in the basement of our forum last year, and we were doing basketball, and we were getting upwards of about 125 students per night. This is from 9:30 to 10:30 at night. That's 12% of our student population. So this year our budget got decreased. So currently we operate on $3,000, which gets divided by 5 people. So that's our wages. So we currently have like a 0 operating budget for campus recreation, which is a huge issue considering that we've had 211 students through the first 5 nights. So that's kind of one of the issues that Hans and I have been working together with. So
thanks, Joel. I want to end on a more exciting note, so I'm just going to skip ahead to the last item I jotted down. And I want to thank you for following through on many of the campaign promises made by more than one of you as it pertains to transportation between Camrose and Edmonton. It's fantastic to see an SU bus pulling into the parking lot. I'm sure there will be plenty of international students waiting to ride home with you to Edmonton tonight. I've sent out a mass text that departure's at 9 o'clock. I won't ask anyone to raise their hands if you made that promise, but you know who you are. So the last thing I wanted to end on was something we've called School of Thought. It's an initiative that's been developing over the course of the summer. And essentially, it's actually more of a vision than a program, although it will become more of a program as the year goes on. It is a vision to bring together the campus community in a discussion and collective thinking about why we're here. So the first question then is, what is here? University, depending on how you want to understand that. Why are we here as students? Why are we here as faculty? What is the kind of education we seek? And what have our experiences of that education been like? Asking some of the fundamental questions, and leading from that to engage a more tangible, deliberative process to identify changes that can be implemented in the years to come, and really to foster just a general understanding between amongst students themselves, and especially between students and faculty as to the challenges involved with education, pedagogy, the nature of instruction, costs, all of those things, to take a step back and take a holistic approach to developing understanding that can inform those the more detailed conversations. So school itself will become more concrete as we go. It will be shaped, and is being shaped already, by the many students who are involved. Over the course of the summer, the executive largely has begun to shape this vision. And last Thursday, we had a semi-public discussion with students from every discipline at Augustana, international students. There's a great diversity, and it was actually amazing to see the discussion that resulted there in a very informal way, an organic way. So we identified there at that meeting kind of what is school of thought, why is it needed, why is it important to engage this kind of discussion. And one of those reasons is not only is it important to understand why we're here, not only do we have a responsibility to understand why we're here, but school of thought specifically is important because there really is not much of an opportunity elsewhere, at least at the current moment, to have that kind of discussion. Did any of you want to add to that? So that kind of, actually I just had a conversation just an hour ago with one of the Board of Governors who's from Camrose, and I kind of skipped over School of Thought to other things, and he said, no, tell me about that. And he was very excited. By the end of the year, the goal really is to engage a deliberative discussion with students and faculty, possibly the Board of Governors, Leroy Johnson, who's from Camrose, administration, and to identify some steps forward as we continue, as our education program here continues to evolve. There are questions that faculty are already asking themselves, and it's long overdue that students engage that in conversation as well. So that's all to say that it's a big year ahead, and we're quite excited about the things that are on the horizon and the things that we're already undertaking. And there'll be many moments where we're looking to engage with you folks, look for your own experiences, and engage with some of these similar issues on the U of A level. And thank you so much for coming to Augustana this evening. Normally we have an hour and a half presentation, which we give quite often, but we felt that it would be important to make it look slightly more concise.
I must say, it's pretty awkward when you're just all staring, and then I don't know what to do. Do I look at Hannah? Do I look at you guys? It is pretty awkward.
To my relief, normally she looks at you guys.
That's what I deal with on a daily basis. Very good. Any questions about ASA or goals or anything like that?
Just one small point, and thanks for the presentation, and thanks so much for inviting us down. I'm really excited to see some of your guys' campus for that. But just on the athletics rec thing, talk to me and Nick tonight, because we have an athletics and rec advisory fee committee meeting on Thursday, so we can relay some of your concerns there.
Great.
Do you have to live in residence in your first year, and how does that change the community?
That's wonderful.
That's a Carol question. All right, I can answer that. Okay, no shame. Just because there's RAs here. No, I'm kidding. I love being RA. No, it is very much a residence-based university, so we do encourage our first years to live on residence. That's kind of why our influx in longer cafeteria lines, which probably is nothing to you guys, but waiting 10 minutes to be served is a lot here.
We timed it was like 12 minutes.
Yeah, it was. It was around the back bed.
Yeah. Oh, it goes all the way 12 whole minutes to get to supper.
Yeah. It is highly encouraged for all our first year students to live on campus. Although, if you're a mature student, which would be 21 up, married, or living Camrose, or have a reason that you do not want them on campus, you are allowed
respectfully decline living on campus. Does that answer your question? Oh, and to the community in the sense that they're there. They live here, they eat, breathe, everything Augustana. So it is really easy to approach your community. Augustana has become, as Justin mentioned, a very tight-knit community in the sense that you know your professor's name. They know you. You miss their class. It sucks. It sucks. They run down the hall like, Kira, are you okay? Like, why aren't you in class?
I've been in some of my professor's houses before.
Yeah, so it does become great in a sense, except when you run into them all the time, which is also good.
They skip their class and run into them 10 minutes later.
Yeah. It gets awkward. But so we are very much a residence-based community, and because of that, it has afforded us to be closer than most faculties. And allowing that has allowed us to enter into a space where people are very much safe and equals, and that they can report to the community. And it's very much a community that I will find very difficult to match leaving Augustana when I graduate this year.
So sad.
I know. I don't know if you push that. Do I get to say that? Do you say that?
You can take over.
You in the back. Champagne. Is that how you say it?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
So thank you so much for the presentation. I'm curious, what's the percentage of students that live on campus, and how much is rent?
Oh, I could tell you.
There was just over 700, I believe, on campus this year. And then
No. The number is 510.
Perspective number for this year?
700.
No, the perspective number was 560.
No, it's a percentage.
We all agree on everything.
Let's ask the current RA this year.
Veronica said 700. I don't know what Mark said.
I believe it's Mark is higher up.
In any case, well over half of the student population does live in residence. And it costs
over half of the population.
Over half of the student population.
300 students from the first year and first year residence.
And if not, they live like a block away.
Yeah.
It's like pretty much the same.
I live off campus and my walk is just as far as this walk from the residence costs here.
Yeah.
So to answer the second part of your question.
Residence fees are roughly
$6,400 for a double room, and $7,200 for a single room, and
that
includes the room. All you can use 3 rooms.
Unless you get month by month, which you have to have special permission to do, otherwise you have to pay in one lump sum either by semester or the whole year. And there is an additional service fee of $25 if you do it month by month.
I just have a question for the SU counselors. I just have a question for what's the cost of parking? Our cap is compared to here because we always seem to complain about parking.
It costs us approximately $84 a year to park here.
And we don't have parking space here.
They also really overfull.
Yeah,
yes.
How
much
do you
pay? It ranges from $80 to $140. That being said, I would be willing to pay more if they could like deal with that.
Any other questions? Any other questions for us? You can ask about the Augustana community, what we do here at the ASA, and anything about cameras.
About dating one of these young gentlemen here. Feel free to ask me a question, I'll sell them.
Can I hear Bab and say something?
Champagne?
Yes. What do you guys think of, does the ASA have an opinion towards the leadership college?
Oh, yes.
Oh, don't get Adam started on that. We'll be here for a nap. We'll miss you, Bob.
Before we get to that, this is Sean. He's our Vice President of Finance.
Hi, everyone.
Why are you late?
How's it work?
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Governor Ezra.
I don't recall the Governor Councillor Rolfe being part of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Governor Ezra. At this point, because there's only one presentation, only one item on the agenda, I honestly don't really care. Also, something before I like to move on, because there's only one item on the agenda, please respect the fact that they're here and that we're here. I'm hearing a lot of bat chatter, and if I was up there, I'd feel really disrespected, so please make an effort to pay attention. I might still be smiling, but I'm very serious about this. We're here. Please give them your full attention. I'm sure if you have other items that you'd like to discuss afterwards, you can discuss them after the council, like the meeting's over. It's not going to be a hugely long meeting. By the way, to anybody from Augustana who's here, I'm speaking only to councillors. I know that you all respect these fine individuals. So for SU councillors and executives, please make sure to give them your full attention instead of looking at your phone. Governor Hansra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unfortunately, we happen to be a very confident bunch at Augustana. Our respect or without it, with all due respect, we shall continue pursuing our objectives over the course of the year. And
whether you like it or not.
So, Mr. Councillor Champagne.
Champagne has several questions for us.
Leadership College.
Oh, Leadership College. So what is our opinion on the Leadership College?
Yeah.
Personal or political?
The AASA has yet to develop a formal position on Leadership College. That being said, we are in the midst of discussions to do exactly that. Those discussions will happen alongside the School of Thought Initiative. I'll have to stop calling it the School of Thought Initiative because that abbreviates to STI. But I've learned that trick from SU. You seem to have enough unpleasant acronyms yourself. So I'm certainly happy to have that discussion with you myself. And the ASA will be bringing forward a position that is to be shared. Thank you for the question. Corey and then Thomas.
Yeah, I was curious how program specialization works. Like, how directed can you go in your studies, and like, what are higher level courses like?
There's two people in them.
They do get smaller. The higher you go up, the smaller they get.
The average of 16 people per class. That was a really big average. We have some first year courses where we have 100 people. I think 100 is the maximum per course. And in some courses, it'll get smaller.
But to be more specific, or at least I can only speak to my what I'm studying.
Yeah.
I'm a GDS major, Global Development Studies. So I'm as broad as they get. Because it's everything from economics to religion to sociology to environmental, gender equality, to everything there is on this campus. That's probably why all the professors know me, because I've probably been in their class. But for specialization, what would you say to it?
Do you
try
to speak in terms? Yeah, sure, I can do that.
I'm not very good at that.
Oh. So what do you say to specialization?
Specialization in terms of
like your major?
Like you can be a political science major, but you can't be a geopolitical societal of Italy in the 1940 major. Like,
what about like in science classes specifically?
Oh, I'm not a science student. I don't know. I did my two required science classes, and I booked it out of there.
So you're just wondering about the breadth of our science program and.
So the only reason is like I did physics, so I got like started taking very it's like the same thing, like very few people. We went for like 16. So I'm just curious like what you have a lot of like people who go only into chemistry or only into biology how those higher level courses. This is very specific.
So the science program includes a biology major, a chemistry major, a math and physics major, are combined. An environmental sciences major, a psychology major, and then probably a couple of others I missed. And then just to give you a sense of how much specialization there is within each of those majors, for the most part, I would say all students within any of those given disciplines would probably take, if not all of the same courses, then maybe two-thirds of those courses would be common to everyone. And then so there's some room, but it's certainly not the same kind of range of diversity that you might see.
Which is still pretty similar, actually. Like that's two-thirds.
We should talk about the breadth, the core.
Sure. So, you can talk about that. We need to have our.
All right. I'm calling you about the breadth, apparently. Okay.
I told what's stuck with it.
Well, it's just the only thing that you guys had mentioned. It's just our campus is a liberal arts campus, so in order to get our degree, we have to take various courses in a wide range. So you need a certain level. Everybody has to take an entry level English class.
No.
Language.
Humanities. So that's how it kind of breaks down. So the other thinkers, researchers, and communicators, that's what they're hoping to get.
So yeah, essentially to graduate, you do have to take 6 credits in sciences, 3 in fine arts, because that's hard. If you're not dramatic, you'll never be dramatic. That's what I've learned. But you do have 6 credits in humanities, 6 in social sciences. So that way it's forcing each student, regardless of your chem, students, you just enjoy the lab, you have to get out of your comfort zone and try a different discipline. Because we do expect our students to graduate more well-rounded through different discussions and through different opportunities to engage other students in classes. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it, essentially.
There are generally 2 perceptions of those requirements. One is, it's awesome because it gives us the freedom to take a whole bunch of different courses outside of our main area of focus
that we
wouldn't be able to take elsewhere, just given more intense science requirements, for example. The other perception is that now I can't focus as much as what on my true passion, etc.
Thank you for the presentation. Ours is very similar, like the faculty of arts at the U of A. It's very similar. We have the breadth of diversity. We have to take all those different sorts of courses. I personally don't like it, but that's why we would be interviewing. Yay! But my actual question is, I would love to hear what the ASA is doing to promote environmental sustainability on campus, and if that's at all a priority for you.
All right. Last year, I wanted us to get awarded the Green Office Space. Didn't really happen if all the posters I printed out. I'm sorry. but our stance, like, we haven't really gone into depth. A few years back, when we asked if there could be a sustainability rep, that did not fly intensely. Except today, I unofficially.
No, that's not what it's about. We have a sustainability coordinator that works with our learning, advising, and beyond office, so like academic advisors and stuff like that. And they have someone who works with them. It's a paid position that is sort of in charge of making sure that sort of recycling gets done and that they're trying to get the composter back up and running, and odds and ends like that are all handled by the sustainability coordinator who works for the LAB office.
It's not necessarily the ASA specifically. It is something that was brought up in the past that we probably will address at our retreat this weekend. What are our kind of underlying goals are our values. But we do fund our clubs here, and one of our biggest clubs is Earthwise, which does promote it. It has the most amount of members and is one of our most active vocally as well. So the ASA does try to help in that way, but as far as anything else, not really.
Going off of that last time I did, there are lots of kind of individual initiatives that we do at Augustana to try and be a little bit more green. The composter, that was, we had a very big composter that had its issues, and then we're seeing if it could possibly be used in another way. We have, every once in a while, we have a local lunch where all of the food we eat in the cafeteria is grown within, is it 100 kilometers?
Yep.
From where we're eating it. So there's lots of the smaller initiatives like that kind of help us stay a little greener.
Yeah, just to add on that, we have also in residence Eco Move Out. So we try.
And Score! Don't forget Score.
And Score. So it's pretty much big fairs of things you can get for free, from clothes to mugs to brews to TVs and computers that people don't want anymore. So we have those things that we're starting to do.
So thankfully, that since we're such a small community, we get opportunities that the student has initiative to go greener or to do any action initiative. It is really heard out. We had a GDS student that graduated a few years back that implemented this event called SCORE. So what would happen is community members and students that had stuff they did not want anymore, that was still in good shape, would drop it off a day before at designated areas on campus, and the SCORE volunteers would assemble it into this huge, massive market of free stuff. Like, it was great. There was runway shows. You dressed in different apparel. There was basic stuff on how to reuse old pillowcases. Like, a lot of different sessions and workshops throughout this event, along with free stuff. So students would come in, trade in their old, like, get a new jacket, new pants, new whatever they wanted. And so there is a lot of initiatives from students to go more sustainable. So that we can't give into that idea of consumers and what you use.
Yeah, to add to that, just simply, I guess, as it stands, there's not been a need for the ASA to push sustainability into the sort of campus sphere, as there are many other groups that have almost been glad of sustainability initiatives. But the other half of that is internally, what kind of sustainability principles we would like to guide our operations. And although I'm not sure that the objectives yet, was suggested to me the other day that sustainability issues be placed in the portfolio of one of our vice presidents, and due to other more urgent issues that yet to be discussed, but be on the agenda for the coming meeting.
Before we continue, the 30 minutes, the initial 30 minutes has elapsed. I see Councillor Grokey and Councillor Bannister's placards up. Is there anyone opposed to extending this presentation by, say, another 30 minutes?
Can we have 15 of them tours?
Yeah.
Sure. So 15 minutes, Grokey seconded by Bannister. Anyone opposed to that? That's cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Keep going. Excuse me.
All right.
Yeah. Councillor Sleeman.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I heard you say that there is a movement to build more buildings here. Is there any movement to build more residences?
Yes. So the most recent update on that front, which came a few days ago, is yes, we need more residences. So it's in the plans, and I think my sense from administration and those who deal with those portfolios is that it's been identified as a priority and things are beginning to align, and that may soon be. Well, in fact, we have what's called the General Space Program. Underway right now. The Stantec consultants are working with the steering committee to basically assess the space-related needs of the campus and then make recommendations, not specifically on how to address those needs, but to looking in the five-year term and based on enrollment growth to outline which needs will need to be met. And we've already completed the academic phase of that program. Currently, we're undertaking the... So this is a facilities and operation deal. Currently, it's the non-academic phase of the program. And taking along with that is a unique residence program to assess those needs. So out of that, by December, we should have a clearer sense of what the needs are, and then from there we can begin discussing how those will be addressed.
That's mine. Do you want me to move on to the next person?
Okay. Can you show the core in addition to the breadth? What? The core is a little different in regards to the breadth, which is a good point that Stephanie's brought up. So the core has five components, which I obviously know right off the top of my head. Integrated knowledge, creative and imaginative processing, environment, global and diversity study, and integrated knowledge and experiential learning. There's five. Yeah. Anyhow, these five areas vary in the sense that, for example, integrative knowledge, that comes right off my head. It's classes in which you will have two different approaches of that same subject in a classroom. So it's usually taught, although last year we changed that during the core curriculum meeting, but it's usually taught by two professors in different disciplines so that you are getting a broader scope of a certain subject. So what's ideal is that students not only take two science classes, to this, to that, but also get different areas. So you need 15 credits of...
With no more than two classes in each
area. But it's just very general. It's pretty much like our breadth. We want students to be more diverse by the end of it. That's essentially what it is. Unless you want to know the classes that are in it.
Okay.
I feel like that's all.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'm really interested in the STIs. So thought initiative. And you said you had the meeting last week with the students, and what are some of the next steps in place?
So School of Thought is very much meant to evolve organically throughout the year based on the input that comes from all of those who participate. We don't want it to be a program that's prescribed by the Student Association. Rather, we want to see contributions from students in all disciplines. So this first discussion that you mentioned was hosted last Thursday, and it was a very informal discussion, and it was an opportunity for students to share their vision of what School of Thought could be, share from their own experiences what kinds of thoughts they have about education, so kind of a preliminary discussion of issues that might be worth discussing and addressing. And our next step is to reconvene on Thursday, having already discussed the what, to now discuss the how. How will these discussions be brought into the public campus sphere, and eventually how will those discussions lead to something tangible? How will we go beyond simply conversation? How can it become a, what's the word I'm looking for? Deliverable that can serve as a tool for faculty administration or a reference for faculty administration. And actually, one of the very interesting conversations I've had with faculty is a lady who chairs an evaluation committee. I was asking what kind of place there is now for student feedback. And basically, the only place for that feedback now is through the USRIs, which frankly are not very effective. And so we moved on from that to discuss other opportunities, and while the committee is actually quite new, so they're finding their legs and they haven't identified all of their priorities, student feedback is not one of those priorities just yet, as they have other more pressing concerns. But the response to the School of Thought initiative and potentially, that may potentially culminate in some kind of program review by discipline. Her response was, that would be a gift from the Students Association to faculty. So basically, the conversations we've had so far we've been met with great receptivity and a lot of encouragement. One of the goals is that, actually, from the beginning, we approached administration and faculty with a request to be partners in this and to shape the initiative together. That wasn't met wholeheartedly. We were again met with encouragement and so on, but there was not a lot of initiative on the part of faculty administration. But certainly one of the goals remains to ensure that those stakeholders are become engaged. And ideally, we're going to continue to encourage both of those groups to engage a similar parallel discussion to what we're having now at the student level. Perhaps as those discussions mature independently, they can emerge and a fuller understanding can result from that. I think, on the one hand, faculty don't fully understand the student experience. Students are both excited and frustrated with different elements of their education, and in particular, for both where they are either excited or frustrated, I think students often don't understand the constraints on faculty and on the institution when it comes to changes to program. So I think it's essential that both of those elements are brought together.
Ms. President Kidman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So thanks for the presentation. I actually like that you don't have PowerPoint or anything. Yeah, I love that you're doing that initiative. But my question's about advocacy. So internally or externally, what are your major advocacy priorities for the year?
The first of those, we've each taken it upon ourselves to kind of place a few major goals to either pursue on our own or pursue as a group throughout the year, as Hans kind of alluded to. Sure. So the first point of advocacy is in those discussions around the ARF increase. will be advocating for. Actually, we've struck a task. We've outlined a purview for this task force. We'll be approving it tomorrow at our council meeting to assess campus recreation needs, the current state of affairs, and make recommendations moving forward. And then we'll be advocating for those recommendations. That's, I think, number one on the list. The leadership initiative is very much in preliminary stages of discussion, as is explained to Charlemagne. But depending on how those discussions go, that very well could become a second major point of advocacy. There are other minor things that have been identified, including some of the transparency on courses prior to enrollment, including the availability of syllabi.
Full exams, because SU has fought for that a few years back, still hasn't made its way to Augustana and our way, so that's something that's to be brought up. Again, Hans mentioned it earlier, I think, or Draper, the fact that we want to look for alternate food sources. I want more events. Some of them don't agree, but I like events.
Let's leave that one.
Yeah, it's
going to go.
So yeah, these are just some of the things. There's a lot more in Augustana-related stuff that we haven't.
There are also several items of interest for us that pertain more to SU affairs and advocacy matters that SU would be engaging more directly than we would be, just for the reason that they pertain to the day as a whole. And there's certainly several points on that front where we would be, where we are actually quite interested in pursuing some discussion. But I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah. Councillor Allard.
Oh, thank you very much for your presentation and for hosting this meeting. I'm not sure if this is information you have readily available, but I was wondering, like, where most of the students that go to Augustana come from? Is it most of them in the Canrose area? Do you get many students from, like, the larger cities? Like, do you get many students from Edmonton or Calgary?
Well, as Carol pointed out at the beginning, we do have 10% of our populace as international students, so we're very proud of that. I think it's the highest percentage of the venue.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of students coming from Edmonton, Calgary. Actually, Draper's
from
Edmonton.
I'm in Edmonton.
Rashmi is right there, it's from Calgary. So yeah, a lot of our students do come from small communities, but actually a huge majority come from big cities, and the typical questions, why are you in Camrose? Although I love Camrose, so I usually don't ask that. But no, it's usually because of smaller class sizes, and you're able to be a research assistant, you're allowed to get directed reading the same day. I was talking to students, like, yeah, I just talked to my prof, same day, bear tracks, directed reading with them. So a lot of students do enjoy the small campus and bigger opportunities. So we have I'm not sure the statistics, but there's also really fast to see with the least amount of student loans. So
we also do have students, obviously, from rural areas, both around Camrose area and all across Alberta and Canada. We do attract a lot of rural students, but it's not like we only have real students, and then everybody from big cities goes to North Campus to get.
My first year I bought a map of Alberta because there's like a lot of places, like Pigeon, like, I don't know, there's a lot of places I didn't know about, and I was like, hey, I don't want to look like the most ignorant person on my floor, so I did buy a map, and it got interesting. But yeah, no, we have a lot of students from all over the province. And for example, my degree alone, GBS, or Global Development, is only offered here. Has brought Thomas from Brazil here, has brought me to choose Augustana instead of North Campus, has brought students from BC and all over Canada to choose it. So it just depends on the student, I couldn't say exactly. Sorry.
There are many niche
programs,
I think, that do attract select groups. One of those is also the outdoor education program here. Another point worth mentioning is currently there are. We have a $1 million grant from the provost to develop space on campus to support the Aboriginal student community and provide services So that will be, that those renovations will occur in the lower level of the forum over the course of next summer. And part of the reason for our that we've acquired that grant money is based on the success we've had in attracting Aboriginal students and supporting the Aboriginal community through the program. And like just for the same reason that it's so rewarding to have all kinds of different niches, whether students interested in outdoor education or in our abroad programs, or whether it's international students population, all of these groups coming together, and kind of ironically perhaps in a small town in rural Alberta, really makes for a rich learning environment.
Not to belittle the standard, but a lot of people do come confused. Like, we do have a lot of our international students thinking it's part of Edmonton. Just because they come from big cities, and it's like, oh, okay, it's like an hour of traffic. Okay, and they don't realize that when they land at the airport, the taxi driver's like driving out of the city. They get kind of scared. Do I jump out? Do I stay in the taxi? So yeah, we have that happen often. Or a lot of students come to do 1 year and then transfer out, to just climatize from high school and transition easier into small campus. And then they fall in love with Augustana and never leave, which happens. So yeah, I didn't speak to numbers, sorry.
Councilor Chen.
Thanks for the presentation, it's very nice. Like, you mentioned Augustana is very, the very interesting fact in Augustana campus is that it's very diverse. So with students from everywhere, especially a big proportion of international students. So I'm interested in the question that how you usually have like a multicultural activities, or like what kind of activities you usually held?
Okay, great. So I, as student life, oversee our clubs, and we have international club, after you club, shortest clubs, that like it divides into all these little different sub niches, the Asian club. And it's been interesting. It's been trying to get them to expand to the wider communities. Some of them only want to speak in their language, so it gets difficult at times. But luckily, our student services offices helps, along with the international club, put on this huge event, which is your iWeek. Like, you guys host at North Campus, we host it similarly here. The cafeteria is very accommodating. They let students cook during iWeek. Mexican food is the best, I still think. Although Tom's just going to say the Brazilian. But yeah, so they do try to accommodate. The cafeteria is really good in that sense. RAs are well trained to help receive international students. Our international office is actually good. Although it's not an official position, we have, I don't know, an international liaison who's totally active. So we do try to accommodate, and just the fact that it's so small that people actually engage.
Just to interrupt on that note, the international student office has seen some changes this last year. Thomas,
just to talk a little bit more about what Tara just said, we do have a bigger, we do have specific events such as the international club does, like lots of events like movie nights and food nights. We also have the student services. Me and Janita work as the international student program coordinators. So those are two positions required for programming. We handle International Week. And recently, we've been having more and more all-encompassing, holistic engagement around campus. So I'm an RA as well, so I just go and talk a little bit about how can RAs better handle international students. And I've been talking to faculty to get our university more culturally sensitive, because we had some problems last year. So it's more of a, it's more of engagement that's coming more all-encompassing. Like, we've been talking to chaplaincy, student services, residents, Augustana Student Association, so there's each part, each area of our campus contributes their way.
Like, we have an international rep on our campus.
That's I was international rep.
They say I've recognized this need for
a very proud of having an international rep.
Sure. I think the 15 minutes passed.
Yes. So, 15 minutes has elapsed. Can if you want, it probably will go another 15 minutes because hands keep going up. Right now I have four people on my list.
So just answer like one sentence.
Yes.
Snowgrounds.
Yes, I have questions.
We can take one more burning question and then close this one.
I don't really want to ask my question.
Go for it.
Okay. I knew there was one. Anywho.
As was mentioned in your presentation, it seems transportation from your campus to North Campus or the city of Edmonton seems to be an issue. And so how do you think that RSU can support you on that, or the University of Alberta, or some way for your students to come back and forth if that's a need that you have?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, that was one of the... points I read on was to decrease that distance between two campuses and get the campuses closer. Right now, I've just got held up with other things, so soon I'll be speaking with some of the counselors on how we can advertise different events at different campuses. And if we can get an SU bus out to like either bring people from campus to come to Camrose, or bring people from Camrose to like the North Campus or Campus. That's the future goal.
So if, say, I'm a student at Augustana, I'm an international student and I want to get to Edmonton, how do I go about it?
Okay, we have Augustana Carpool page on Facebook. That's pretty much as legit as it gets.
You can pay $120 for a taxi.
Yeah.
Find a friend that's going to chip in for gas.
Someone in Camrose has created a shuttle service, which is ridiculously overpriced. It's like $100 there and then $100 back. So what happens a lot is just carpool. And again, thanks to the small knit community, it's possible. But as Han said, some people did run on transportation between campuses. William last year brought a bus full of people last year to one of our events during the beginning of the year. So it has happened, but ideally, it would be best if bigger events, like when you hold a dodgeball tournament, to have a bus so that we can actually engage in breaking the tie record rather than trying to organize people to carpool or career fair for graduating students. So like little things like that would be ideal. But again, that costs money.
And just to make people aware, there is no actual formal bus transportation service in Camrose. There's nothing.
There's
so the city of Camrose doesn't have a bus. So
which has not been
the idea. I'll speak to that. First of all, I think there are two issues that have come up here. One is the integration of different campuses, whether in terms of student life and events and so on, as one gentleman has just alluded to, as William partly addressed last year through those buses, as we've addressed by bringing students to either hockey games or events in Edmonton. That's one issue. The other issue is simply the fact that there's no public transportation, as Joel has been said. In the past, there have been public transportation options, private charter bus routes. I don't know if it's Greyhound or Red Arrow. Those were dropped for whatever reason. That's the first issue, is transportation to Edmonton, particularly amongst international students. The second issue is transportation within Camrose, because there's also no public transit here. It's difficult for most students who don't have vehicles to reach the other end of the city, where many of the box stores are located. But for both of those issues, they're actually not students' issues. They're issues for the community. Students, the elderly, foreign workers are a very significant interest group here, and both in terms of inter-municipality, transport and transit within the community. I'm currently on a committee with the city. It's an advisory committee to make recommendations for the development of a transit system. And the current progress is that in working with city administration, we'll be making a request for express of interest to private contractors who may work with the city to run the operation.
That basically said for 1 year try the public transit program for free, and they refused it.
Yes, so this is a long-standing discussion. The grants have been awarded to the city in the past and denied for basically reasons of cost. So this has been being revisited for the third time in a decade. We'll see what happens. Basically, it comes down to what is this going to cost the city. But to bring this back to university and our role, if we're going to see these needs addressed, short of the SU providing this service themselves, we're going to need to make a case with the city, and I don't know, we make a case with to get public transit to between Cameron's Limited. The government of Alberta is not about to do that. So I think, I don't know that I have a lot of hope for that. Certainly within Cameron's, though, there's at least possibilities.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your presentation. All right. We'll try to read through the rest of the agenda so we can do a quick tour of the campus. That concludes the presentation. We'll move on to executive committee reports. We have any members of the executive committee reports. President Lau.
Thank you, everybody. One thing I've been really excited about over the past 2 weeks was Alumni Weekend, which was just this past weekend. And I think there's one key takeaway that I wanted to share with everyone today. And the key takeaway from the sub-expansion event on the Saturday was that the sub-expansion committee that started the proposal and went on forward to build the Students' Union building that we have today was a committee of council promoting exec initiatives. I think that's something that was really powerful as we saw that those in the audience and those who attended weren't only past executives, but they were past counselors that decided to take major initiatives and a leadership role on a project as large as that. So I think that's something I want to share today, just to let you know that, yes, our terms have started. We're one-third through our year. And to really take some time out of your day sometimes to think kind of blue sky about what our students union can do, where we can go, and that in a setting like ours, anything's possible. So, dream on.
Thank you, President Lau. Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, apologies. I did not submit a report for this agenda. I'll have a double-sized report covering both time periods for the next meeting, as evident in the time. I did want to say one thing, because this has been bothering me quite a bit recently. Turnout for the council table was abysmal, really. It was predominantly run by the executive, but with a handful of councilors, and that wasn't the intent of doing the table. The executive also committed, I would say, a pretty significant amount of resources, getting the t-shirts done, water bottles, all these things to try and help council engage with students on campus, and really disappointed in the turnout and the participation rate there. As well, again, this Saturday we had the alumni event. Part of actually trying to get counselors to come out and volunteer for the alumni event was to offset the cost of, like, the personal cost towards council wear. We had one counselor show up to the end, two actually in the end, but this was a phenomenal event. We had the grads who built our building from the 60s, like, listening to their stories, especially one of the things that really, really impacted or struck me was how building our Students' Union building was, like, basically the beginning of clawing our autonomy. We didn't used to get Board of Governors seats. We didn't used to get meetings with the Premier, the Minister, the government. These are things that we fought for over 50 years and finally, like, at half. Like, the position our Students' Union is in was all to these individuals who came together to build a building. They were our age, and they built the building, which is the most amazing thing. So I'm very disappointed right now. I really hope that in future endeavors, I'm glad to see there was a really good turnout for this meeting. That's really hopeful, but please come out to events and please try to engage.
Thank you, Vice President Hodgson. Any Vice President Kinda?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'll just go through my report real quick. I have nothing new to add since today's vote. So campus internal advocacy has been mostly dealing with market modifier issues lately. Last weekend, a bunch of the student executives from all the Edmonton area post-secondary, so that includes Nate, Concordia, Hewen, us, etc. We all came together and we had a meeting with two of our city councilors talking about post-secondary issues that we all have in common. So that was a lot of fun. A big issue actually is transit for us too. So lots of areas that we can discuss together. Provincially, I haven't been doing too much, but one thing that we do with our provincial advocacy group called CAUSE is we have quarterly roundtable meetings. Quarterly ministry meetings. And that means four times in a year, we meet with ministry staff, as well as sometimes, well, last with the premier, but usually just the minister of Mass Ed. So that one's coming up quite soon, and that's all the Alberta Student Association executives come together and we talk to the ministry about our issues and meet the new minister. Federally, we did have three NDP MPs come to campus last week, and that was actually a lot of fun. Some good questions were asked, and over the year I'll try to bring MPs or MLAs from various political parties to campus. And the last thing I want to talk about was alumni weekend. As William stressed, William explained, it was quite impressive. I really enjoyed it. And as Corey said as well, it was such an opportunity to connect with past members of the SU and really see like how far we have come and what our potential can be. So again, I really encourage you all to get involved, and please let us know if you ever want to contribute any ideas or want to talk to me, especially those of you at Augustana. Feel free to email us, and I try to come down sometimes to events, so yeah, try to keep those lines of communications open, but yeah, I'm always here, so thanks.
It was great to have you all at our DASH.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Vice President Kinda,
Vice President Diaz. That was a nice way to start. So, most of my report is mostly, everything I wanted to talk about mostly is covered in my written report, but there's something that happened that I didn't really want to put in writing that I felt was inappropriate. Over the past week and a half, I've been helping a student that lives in the main, some of the North Campus residences, and they were almost evicted and charged thousands of dollars and had all their stuff destroyed. So we managed to keep them from being evicted and waive all their fees, but it is actually an interesting capstone kind of case where it revealed a lot of the administrative and bureaucratic issues within resident services on North Campus that enable abuses of the system against students. So it's actually a really big deal. So advocacy there is ongoing. For the rest of my report, I can cover a lot of the Augustana-related stuff. So I'm really happy you're interested in discussions around the athletics and recreation fee. The athletics and recreation fee committee starts up on Thursday, as President Hodgson brought up. So I'm looking forward to those conversations about how we can get stuff out here. I've been talking with ASA Press about fitness equipment. Both CSJ and Augustana might be getting some of the fitness equipment that's going into the new physical and wellness center on North Campus. Let's see, what was the other one? As well, we were having discussions about how clubs are administered, and I'm looking forward to how those conversations go forward, too. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Vice President Diaz. That closes executive committee reports. Do any committee chairs or the Board of Governors wish to make reports?
Yeah, I'll make one.
Governor Hanser.
Today we had Finance and Property Committee. They're the ones that deal with property and financial issues of the university. So a little bit of update on what's going on in Camelos. The Camelos Performing Arts Center is on, as you guys likely know, it's on time, it's on budget. Expect an exciting announcement on the name of that. It's going to be a big deal. And the other thing is Founders Hall. New windows have been ordered, so as you guys know, the elevator is coming. There's an elevator, a huge expansion of that. That's going to cost the university about $2.5 million. So that's what we're investing in there. So that's going to be exciting to see that renovation. There was also a discussion with the provost that lasted about 2 hours on the state of finance with our quarterly financial update. It's still not looking that good. And that's an update for councillors as well, to look to preview what's happening. I believe we're at about $32.7 million deficit right now. The provost said, use the words, we're kind of broke. And so that's something to worry about. Operating the provincial grant, but the province, province is the biggest funder of our university budget. It's dropped now down to 69%. Minister Scott has made a point, has stated something about restoring that. I don't know if the minister really spoke or not, but that's something that the cause and the university, the vice president external, that pushed Minister Mathers, made that promise to hold that promise. They're doing a lot of innovative stuff to do revenue resource, revenue generation, including projects, finding partnerships with a bunch of universities, especially Germany and China. The interesting thing is the direction of the provincial.
Thank you, Governor Hans, for having that is up. Councillor Schulke.
So policy committee has moved to off council Thursday nights at 6:30. I know we haven't had anything on the agenda for a long time. That's because we've sent quite a few things to the research guys up in 2900 regarding student fees. So over the next few months, we will be renewing all of last year's policies as well as this year's policies. That being said, if there's anyone on council who has ideas for new policies, we are not bogged down by just renewing. So email me or email one of the executives whose portfolio is most pertinent to, and they can bring it to the committee. Additionally, unless I get scathing emails from enough counselors, we will be allowing the fall reading week policy expire, seeing as we kind of got that one as a win. And can I speak to IRC, even though we don't technically have a chair right now?
No.
IRC currently doesn't have a chair, and we just got full membership. We will be having a meeting in the next couple weeks of those current members to elect a new chair and to figure out where we're going with the committee this year. Yes, that's it.
Thank you, Councillor Grokey. Councillor Bruce.
Audit committee has received the financial reviews from a number of faculties. We're going to be able to move over to those in the next few months. We'll be starting with the ones that have effect. That doesn't include August. I know what your fee scope is a little bit different. So we're looking over to those things we're going to do over the next few months. And then we'll be talking to VP Hodgson and the finance department of the SCU over receiving the SCU's audit, which should be coming in the next week or so. And we'll be looking over that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Farouk. Councillor Jaddick.
I'm just going to speak to CAC. As all of you know, Natalia has resigned from council, so CAC is now looking for a new chair. So if any of you are interested in chairing CAC, please think about it, because we need to have a new chair as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Councillor Jaddick. Any other committee chairs? Committee reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to question period. I'll start our first 15 minutes. I would remind council that you only have 25 minutes before the bus departs, and I would assume that several councillors or several members of council would like to have a short tour now of the Autumn's End campus. So please keep your questions short. We'll start the first 15 minutes with Councillor Champagne.
So, Mr. Speaker, my question is for Councillor Chen. How did the presentation of like modifiers go for the econ department, and what will we hope to see from that?
For the economics department, we have to met up with the dean, and I think most of this, a lot of internationals are coming out to that town hall, and we asked a couple of questions about their how their allocations, about their fundings, and how the how they are going to use the funds collecting from international students, how they decided what the exact amount of marking modifier going to add to students. So they're proposing about $150 marking modifier adding to general economic students. For international students, will be $554 adding to it, and it's a couple of questioning periods. At the end, they was asking if any they were asking for a very roughly voting. So about it's about like a 25 students or something coming out, and if only four students voted for yes, like for the like marking requires. So. Catherine and Natalie was there, so they're probably speaking more for this as well.
Thank you.
So just in the interest of time, I'm going to limit questions to 30 seconds and responses to 1 minute. Next, I have Councillor Chen.
For the question Kari brought up, that in terms of the Lumia Student Association events, I really wanted to join that, but I was, before that, I was wondering, yes, about that time, but I didn't receive any emails or Facebook posts or something related to this. So I lost a whole tracking on these events. I was wondering how did I get the information or something from SU?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. I believe we sent an email out a few days before, as well as we sent multiple messages on the WhatsApp group about it. So I don't know if you maybe missed it. Like, it's fine. I understand it's a Saturday and people were busy. I just had hoped that more than two people would have shown up.
Is it the WhatsApp message or something, including all the counselors?
It's a large majority of the counselors. And an email went out about it.
Okay,
as well.
I will double check. Thanks.
Councilor Sleeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm hoping to ask Governor House if he has any more updates for us.
We're doing a lot of work with institutions. Partly up with institutions in Germany and China. One of the interesting things that they're doing right now is a university in China, which will pay, as a essentially work in a partnership where there's about 450 students. The university will pay the students international tuition fee and the professors. The professors will fly back. That's about a 5-year deal. That's kind of what they're looking at. This is all public. This is all in the public course of the community. The other thing they're doing that's interesting is government's allowing them, as long as the program's regulated here, they can deregulate there. So, for example, the Masters of Financial Management, or something, I can't remember the acronym exactly, but it's offered about $15,000 at the U of A, and China to teach in Mandarin for $50,000. So, that's the kind of revenue generation that they're doing. So, all the deans now essentially are being pushed to think outside the box, think creatively, to make revenue, because if not, there may be some sort of cuts. So those are the discussions that are happening right now.
Thank you, Governor Ezra. Councillor Jaddick.
I make a point of parliamentary inquiry. Can I make a motion to elect a new member to CAC? Permanent member?
Yes, you may. I'm assuming Councillor Grobe is seconding that motion. We'll entertain that motion after the close of question period. So it's just a motion from the floor. What it is. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll close question period. We'll move on to board and committee business, which would be Councillor Jaddick's motion to nominate one member of Students' Council to CAC, seconded by Councillor Grokey. Councillor Jaddick, would you like to introduce your motion?
Since the title is I'm being a new permanent member on CAC, basically we oversee, so it's called the Council Administration Committee. It's all the fun. Our meetings are on Council Tuesdays, an hour before Council. So if we have Council meeting at 6, we meet at 5. Or 4:30 if we have a heavier agenda. So if you're interested, nominate yourself.
Any questions for Councilor Jaddick before we move into nominations? Yes.
Mr. Speaker, I guess my question would we be considering moving this to the next weekend after we have our new members of council present? Would they be interested in joining CAC?
I would like to have a CAC meeting next, before our next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could just make a clarification, all members of Students' Council are members of CAC.
Yeah.
We just need permanent members in order to be quorum to action.
Yes.
So anyone can show up at a CAC meeting and have voting
privileges. Yes. But we like to have permanent members so that we can meet for them on a regular basis, as most councillors do not come to our meeting.
Any other questions for Councillor Jaddick before we move into nominations?
Seeing none, I'll open nominations. Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate myself.
Nice. I'm assuming you accept. Councillor Zhang.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Toh.
Councillor Toh, do you accept?
Yeah.
Speaker, I withdraw my nomination.
I would like to nominate Councillor Bannister.
Councillor Bannister, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Any other nominations before you close nominations? Seeing none, congratulations, Councillor Toh. That brings us to the end of our agenda. But before I take attendance, I will open the floor to you.
I just wanted to say in response to the little garbage issue we had there, I don't think we have the infrastructure in this room for everybody to throw the garbage. So if you don't mind taking your garbage outside of this room, we have some larger, more hefty garbage cans down there. So just hold on to your garbage as you exit the room.
Or if you go out that door, there's a garbage can.
Or if you go out that door.
Wait, our preference would actually be to return your garbage to anywhere where it belongs. If I could also make an announcement, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to staff for organizing this, and thank you to everyone for coming down. We have you on campus. It's important that our student body knows, the student union is aware of the issues as they pertain to Augustana, and look forward to working with all of you throughout the year.
Can I make one more quick announcement? We've already paid for the food, so if you want to take it as like a walk for the road, Oreos for the ride back. I know it's a long ride, you'll want a snack.
Or just fond memories of Augustana while we take all our garbage. Do a quick attendance, and then we can go for like 10 minutes. Of
that's time. All it takes.
Hey, wonderful. President Lau.
President.
Vice President Jinder. Vice President Hodgson.
Yeah.
Vice President Diaz. Governor Hedra. Please keep quiet for the next 30 seconds so I can finish attendance. Councillor Allard.
Present.
Councillor Chen.
Present.
Councillor Bannister.
Present.
Councillor Dueck.
Present.
Councillor Sleeman.
Present.
Councillor Zhang.
Yep.
Councillor Janik.
Present.
Councillor Brookie. Councillor Price. Councillor Bakhtunde.
Present.
Councillor Horvath.
Yeah.
Councillor Podolsky.
Present.
Councillor Jacobson. Councillor Wong. Councillor Gar. Councillor Gore. Here. Councillor Khan. Councillor Kruzi, Councillor Forrest, Councillor Bhatia,